And when I tell you to turn to 1 Samuel 17, if you're a student of the Bible, then you know the story I'm at. It's a very familiar story. And don't turn me off just because it's a familiar story. I don't have anything new. If anybody tells you they have something new, then you're in trouble. I'm preaching the old Word of God. It's been around for many years. And we've heard a lot of these stories before, but I'm just going to tell you what God's given me for today, and hopefully we can gain something from it. But if you know 1 Samuel chapter 17, you know we're in the story of David and Goliath, one of the most popular stories that we learned as a childhood in Sunday school, if you was around church. But even if you haven't, you heard a preacher preach on it somewhere down the line. Very familiar story. But it's on David. But I want to pick up in verse 51. Verse 51 of the story. And then we'll backtrack and we'll pick up the rest of the story. But I have a little portion of the story that I want to bring out. Verse 51. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine. Now Goliath is on the ground. And he took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. All the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until they come to the valley and to the gate of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shamarim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. This meant they got what they wanted. Each man got whatever they wanted. Spoiled means you got to keep whatever was left. But David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. So David, when he got back from chasing the Philistines out of town, he said, there's two things I want. He said, I want the head of Goliath, and I want his armor. And my message this morning is, what does the armor represent? What does the armor represent? Now, it says he put the armor in his tent. He put the armor in his tent. That's the message. We go on to read the story. The head he took to Jerusalem, and he put the head there, and that's where it stayed as a memorial for what happened there on the battle. But his armor he kept for himself. Why would he keep this armor for himself? That's the question that we have this morning in front of us. And that's what I want to speak of. If we could, we'll pray real fast. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be here at Calvary this morning. And Lord, I thank you that you put this message on my heart this morning. Lord, I pray that I could get it off the way that you've laid it on my heart. Lord, if I do so, Lord, I could be pleasing unto thee, but I need your help. Lord, within myself, I'm nothing, but Lord, with thee, all things are possible, as we see this morning. And Lord, we want to thank you for those that came out and took the time to come out to the house of God this morning. Lord, they're doing the right thing this morning by being here this morning. This is where you have us to be on a Sunday morning. Lord, I thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that for those who are not here today, Lord, be a reason and why. Lord, I pray you'd help them where they are. Lord, if there's not a reason why, Lord, I pray you'd convict their hearts and draw them back here next time. Lord, we want to give you praise and honor for all that's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. I was reading a story one time about an artist, a painter. His name was John Singer Sargent. And when he first started painting, he never could get a painting that was really sufficient. He'd have the critics come by his painting room and criticize his paintings, and they would say that's good, but it's not really great. But one day he painted a painting. It was of roses. It was a bouquet of roses, and the critics came by and said, that is the most beautiful painting I've ever seen, and they wanted to buy it from him. And for years to come, people would come by and want to buy that painting. He said, no, I can't sell it. He said, because it's the inspiration that allows me to paint more because of what that painting represents for me and my life. And so he kept that one painting. Well, from there, because of the inspiration of that painting, he was able to paint many more paintings that became worth very high money. But he never wanted to get rid of that one painting because it was the inspiration for him. Well, today I want to say that the armor is going to look. We're going to look at the armor today, and that's what it's going to represent in our life. Number one thought. You know, David, he went and took that armor. He put it in the corner of his tent. Now, they were traveling back in those days by tent during the war times and whatnot. And so somewhere over in the corner, there was this huge armor. I read somewhere the other day, I cannot remember the exact number, but somewhere around 120 pounds is what this piece of armor would have weighed. It says shekels in the Bible, but I think it's 120 pounds is what we would recognize it today. So it was pretty heavy just to be able to drag it back to his tent, a 120-pound piece of armor. But we'll find out here in a minute that Goliath was a huge man. And so 120 pounds was nothing to him, but it would have been a lot for us. But anyway, that big old piece of armor was sitting in the corner of David's tent. And the first thing when he looked at that armor, he thought was, which would be the most common thing that we would think, that he would think, was God made me bolder than my physical abilities. When I looked at that armor, God made me bolder than my physical abilities. We'll see 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 3 and 4. We want to look at Goliath. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. That's 9 feet 9 inches. 9 feet 9 inches. Now that's a giant. Now when they call him the giant, they're not kidding. 9 feet 9 inches. Reagan's about 6'4", and that would be, help me out, somebody, 3 foot 5 inches. I got it, didn't I? I nailed it. 3 foot 5 inches taller than him. That's a big man. That's a very big man. David, 1 Samuel 16. We'll look at David here for a minute. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Verse 10 through 12. Again, Jesse made 7 of his sons. Now, let me pick up on the story real fast. Samuel is going to anoint one of the Jesse's sons as king, and he lets them all pass by him. He knows it's one of the sons, so 7 of them. It says, verse 10, is, and Jesse, again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? He said, There remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for he will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. So when Samuel was looking for the next king, he brought in Jesse's boys. The most unlikely one, undoubtedly, had to be the youngest, which was David. Or he would have brought him earlier on. He brought all 7 of them. He didn't even think about David. David was out attending sheep. And when he was thinking about which one of my boys would be the perfect example to be the king, he didn't think of David at all. He brought 7. He said, do you have another one? Because I'm not getting these 7 or not him. I'm not getting the word from the Lord that this is him. I do have one more. He's a little young lad out in the field. He's keeping sheep. Well, bring him up here. Let's just see what the Lord has to say. And brought him up. And that's the one. God anointed him on that day. But he was unlikely. Now we got a 9'9" man, and we have David. I don't want to miss this morning. I wasn't going to say anything about it, but verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So when he was looking at all these men, these brutal sons that Jesse had, as far as the outward appearance, they looked perfect. They looked like they were the candidates. But God wasn't looking on that. God wasn't looking on how it looked on the outside. He wasn't looking what possibly could be your greatest physical ability. He was looking on the heart, which was where your physical ability come from. I don't want to twist that. You know, the world tries to twist that verse against us sometimes, you know, in saying, oh, don't judge me by the outside. God judges my heart. Well, I can't look at your heart. I don't have the capability of looking at your heart. And the Bible gives us references that out of the mouth speaketh what's in the heart, correct? So what you say, I can judge your heart. What you look like, I can judge your heart. So the outward appearance is what your heart is. If you look like the world and want to look like the world, then there's a good chance that's what your heart is saying. But that's not the point of the message. The point of the message is God was looking for the man with the right heart. And then turn to back to chapter 17, verse 42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. And then verse 48, and it came to pass when the Philistine arose and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David became bolder than his physical ability. If I can set the picture real fast, this is the familiarest part of this story. And I don't want to dwell on this too much, but the most familiar part of this story is David. Goliath is a giant. David is a young lad. They say he's somewhere between the age of 15 to 20 at this point in time. I don't know where they get that from, but we'll go with it. But a young lad, a giant. Physically, no way in the world that this would ever happen. No way this could ever happen. But God made him bolder in his physical ability. And when he looked on that armor on that day, he remembered that he became bolder than his physical ability. Let's just take, for instance, one day, David's in the tent. They've already spent 5 days, 5 hard days fighting the Philistines. Years later, they're up, 5 days fighting the Philistines. One of the warriors comes in and says, David, he said, I know you're tired, but he said, there's a band of Philistines coming over the horizon. We got to go again. And he said, I can't. I'm wore out. I'm just wore out. And then he looks at that armor. I believe I can do it. God just made me bolder than my physical ability. I'm going to look at that armor one more time. We can do it. Gather up the troops. We're going to fight again today. Armor. What does the armor represent? Psalms 105:24 says, and he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. Today, I stand before you with not the physical ability to be able to stand here and preach. But 1 Peter 4:11 says, if any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. I don't have the physical ability to stand here today. But God, give me a strength to be able to stand here and do it. I feel as Moses. You know, Moses said, I have a physical disability, God. He said, I stutter. I'm not good at speech. He said, just give me what you have. I'll make you bolder than your physical ability. Isaac became blind. Jacob limped. King Saul battled depression. Zacchaeus was small. Mephibosheth was crippled. Thomas doubted. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Peter had an angry issue. What's your issue? What excuse are you given to tell God, I can't do it. I can't do it. Well, you need to find you a piece of armor in your past and say, I can do it. I can do it. He let me do it before. I can do it again. I can do it again. God made me bolder than my physical ability, is what David said. Number two, God made bountiful my provision. God made bountiful my provision. Let's see what Goliath's provision was. 1 Samuel 17, verse 5 through 7. Goliath had he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armored with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And then look on down to 41. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bared the shield went before him. Not only does Goliath have all this armor on, not only is he 9'9", he has armor from head to toe. Now he even has a man that goes before him with a shield. Now he's pretty well equipped, don't you think? And then in verse 45, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, of God, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. So he is well equipped. He's well equipped. His provisions are great. Goliath's provisions are great. But David, look in verse 38 through 40. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed with him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon the armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put off of him. They tell me Saul was a big man. They said he was just shy of being a giant himself. So when David, being a little guy, he put on that armor, and it was way too heavy. He said, I've never fought with this stuff before. And he said, I'm not putting this on. He said, this is not what I need to go with. And so he took it off. And then in verse 40, he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. David said, all I need is a sling and five smooth stones. And he put them in a little bag. Now, you get the picture? You got a man here. 9'9", full armor. He's got a man in front of him with a shield. David says, all I need is a sling, five stones. Now, when he looks at that armor now, years later, now there could have been another case where somebody came in and said, David, the men are hungry. There's no bread. We don't have no food for the men. We don't have no food for the army. He looked at that armor once again and said, God will provide. God provided for me back there with a sling and five stones against a giant. He will provide again today. How about you? Can you look at something in your life and say, God provided for me then. He will provide for me today. God provided for me then. He'll provide for me again tomorrow. There was a lady one time. They had she was gathering sticks, and she had a son. Don't know what happened to her husband. Take it that he died. But she was gathering sticks, and she was going to go in and make some bread and die. That's what she said. She said, I'm going to make bread, and we're going to die, me and my son. But God sent a servant by the name of Elijah. Elijah came by, and he said, go in there and make me a bread. Make me some cake. She went in there and gathered a little last piece of meal, they call it. I don't know what that is. Is that flour? Probably. But anyway, she said, meal. She went in there and made meal, and she used it to make some cake. And she thought that was it. But she went in there and looked the next day. More meal. I don't know if God just filled the barrel up at one time. I don't think it was that way. I believe it was an act of faith. I believe she went and looked every day and like, there's still a handful of meal. The next day, there's a handful of meal. And God provided. Because of her faith, God provided for her day to day. I don't know where you've been in your life, but we've been there. We've been in our life where I've been living day to day. God, I need your help. I need your help today. And I look over at some of the armor in my life, some things that happened. I'm going to tell you what the armor is later. But I look at some armor in my life and I say, God, you provided. You provided. You made bountiful the little bit I had. The little bit I had. Josh, come here. I'm going to use Josh. I like these little guys. I'm glad you got a church that has mixed congregation where you got some older and younger. And I like these kiddos. I was going to sit somewhere different last week when we had the eating time. And I was going to go sit with somebody else. We'd sit with the same couple the first two times we came. So the third time, so I'm going to sit somewhere else. I don't feel like I'm being biased to one couple, you know. And so I said, I'm going to see who will come sit with us. Well, Josh and Henry come sit with us. Is that right? Come sit with us. And so I was tickled to death. They came. Well, there's another story in the Bible. I asked Josh if he would help me do this. There was another story in the Bible. Jesus had preached all day. Now, we can't take that nowadays, but Jesus preached for like 6 hours. And the disciples, there were some murmuring. The disciples said, they're getting hungry. They're getting hungry. And he said, should we let them go? Let them go to the stores and get their food? And Jesus said, no. He said, we'll provide them something. And so the disciples, he said, find something, we'll provide. And there was a boy that had his lunch that day. We don't know if it's his lunch or if it was his taking his home to his mom. We don't know exactly what it was, but it's always called his lunch. And so he found that boy. The disciples brought that boy to Jesus. And Jesus said, son, what do you have?
Five loaves and two fishes.
I got 5,000 men out here, and I got women and children. Now, is that going to be enough to provide for them?
Not physically.
Not physically. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to take what you have. I'm going to take all you have today, and I'm going to feed all them. Can I use what you have?
Yes.
You going to let me have it? All of it? You going to let me have all of it? All five loaves and two fishes?
Yes.
All right. Go sit down. God took everything that boy had that day. That he gave them all. He said, that's all I got. That's all he could find that day amongst all them people. But he made bountiful his provision. And that little lad left that day. I'm telling you, it happens all throughout the Bible. I've made mention of it last time I was here, I do believe. That little lad left that day, and nobody convinced him that Jesus is not a miracle worker. Now, there's some place in your life you're going to look at the armor. You're going to look at that armor that's sitting over in the corner and say, God provided before. He'll provide again. He's going to make bountiful our provision. All we have. That's all I have. All I have to give you. All I have to give you. But God will make it bountiful. Somebody said, you give him spoonfuls and he gives you dump trucks full. And that's about the way it works, is it not? Number three. God made me believe all things are possible. God made me believe all things are possible. 1 Samuel 17:34-37. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, saying, he hath defied the armies of the living God. He believed all things are possible. Matthew says, what does Matthew say? Be faithful in little things, and he'll make you great over great things. Fruitful, faithful over great things. I messed that verse off. Y'all understand the verse? All right. But David, in his life, he fought the lion, he fought the bear, and because God was made him possible and let him know that it was possible to defeat those, when he came against that Philistine that day, he said, what he gave me confidence to do back then, he'll give me confidence to do in the future. And he did. The mighty men come to his tent, and they said, I got good news, we got bad news. Well, he said, give me the good news first. He said, we have 30,000 troops. 30,000 troops that are ready to fight. He said, that sounds pretty good. 30,000 is a pretty good number. He said, what's the bad news? He said, the Philistines have 150,000. He said, that's not good. That's bad news for sure. 30,000 against 150,000, that's not good. But he looked over there in the corner, and he saw that armor once again. He said, the odds were against me before. He said, I believe we can do it again. He said, all things are possible. He said, get the boys ready. Get the boys ready. We're going to go fight. They were victorious that day. They were victorious once again. God made him believe all things are possible. Number four, God is bigger than all my problems. God is bigger than all my problems. 1 Samuel 17:48-51. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in the bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in the forehead. Then the stone stuck into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath, therefore, and slew him, and cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. He said, God is bigger than all my problems. Psalms 55. Turn to Psalms 55. We ain't turned much. Hold your place in 1 Samuel, if you would, but turn to Psalms 55. When David looked at that armor once again, he said, God is bigger than all my problems. David was amongst the problem here in chapter 55. Before we get to the verses we're at, he's had a friend that's betrayed him. You know, he makes mention, he said, if it would have been an enemy, I would have known. I would have hid myself. I would have been ready for him. But he said, a friend betrayed me. It was a friend that betrayed me. But he looks over at that armor once again. And in verse 16, he says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. He said, when things get hard and I got problems in my life, God is bigger than all my problems. He's found out where the help is. The help was going to the Lord. The Lord. He said, evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. I was reading a story about a man who was shipwrecked. He was a Christian man, and he was shipwrecked, and he landed on an island. He was the only one of the ship that salvaged out of the wreck. And so he was on his island by himself. Some debris started coming in. He was able to keep the debris and stay alive on the island. And he had made him a little hut and survived for days and days and on days. And it started getting harder and harder to make a living there on the little island. Food was coming scarce. And so he was starting to doubt that God was even anywhere around. And you ever been there? You ever been to the place where you kind of wonder, like, God, are you anywhere around? Well, this man felt that way that day. And then he went hunting one day. He was going to go try to find some food. And as he was gone, when he came back, the hut was on fire. everything he had, the hut, everything was in this hut other than what he had on him, was burnt up. And there's no store to go to, go buy new stuff. And so he thought, God, you've done deserted me. God, what do I do now? I should just go and die. About that time, over the horizon, he's seen a ship coming towards the island. And they made their way to the island. And he was saved once and last, for last. And he asked the ship captain, he said, how did you ever come to find me? He said, it was that smoke signal you sent up. It was that smoke signal you sent up. It's kind of a funny story in a way. But by the time you think you're at your end, that's when God shows up. You ever seen that little picture of the guy digging his way out of the cave? And he gives up, and he's only just got just a little further to go. If he wouldn't have gave up, he just had a little further to go, and he breaks through. And that's the way it is with God sometimes. He wants you to keep on going. He's there. He's there pulling for you. He's there pulling for you. He's just wanting you to keep on going. And don't give up. God is bigger than all my problems. When you look at that armor, you say, God is bigger than all my problems. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, aren't you glad that's the truth? 5, God has broadened my public ministry. Not for fame, but for a testimony and witness is what you should want to broaden your fame, your testimony for. But 1 Samuel 18:6-8, this is when things start turning for David, but nonetheless, and it came to pass, 18:6-8, and it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the woman came of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets with joy and with instruments of music. And the woman answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousand, David his 10,000. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? Saul got very wroth over this. But nonetheless, David's fame had become popular. David's fame had become popular because of what he had did for the Lord. He was able to use it for a testimony from their own. Not going to turn, but Psalm 71. If you ever get a chance to read it, Psalm 71:15-24. If you'll write that down for later, David tells there in that psalm that all the reasons why he used his fame for his testimony and for his glory of God. And then before I leave there, one more time, that armor, he would be able to use that armor. When people come into the tent, they say, what in the world is that armor over in the tent for? What does that mean? Just in case they never heard of Goliath. Most people would have probably came into the tent and said, is that his? Yep, that's his. They would probably know that it was the Goliath because of the size of it, the mere size. And he'd say, yep, that's his. But some people might come in and say, what is that? That definitely ain't yours. That ain't going to fit you. What is the story about that? Let me tell you the story. Let me tell you the story about the armor. And he used it for a testimony for God. 6 and last on this subject, God taught me to bless his name with praise. 1 Samuel 17:37, this is before the Philistine was defeated. 17:37, he said, and David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And then 45-47, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. He was already honoring God during the battle, before the battle. The God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine hand head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, and that all that the earth may know there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, that he will give it into our hands. Before he ever got Goliath on the ground and defeated, he was given honor and praise to God. He was given honor and praise to God before, way before the Philistine ever fell to the ground. He was given praise. But that armor, after he got it in his tent, I want you to turn. We're going to walk right here for a minute. Psalms 103. Turn to Psalms 103. Can I instill this? David's going to look at this armor here, and we're going to see what he's getting ready to say. But he's going to say, I got freedom to worship. You know, I'm glad I got freedom to worship. I'm glad today I can raise my hand and say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. I can say with my mouth, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. And 103, verse 1 and 2, now he looks at that armor in the tent. Somebody's coming in the tent. He looks at the armor and says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Turn to 104:1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Look at 105:1-2. O give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing songs unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. 106:1-2. Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? 107:1-2. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. 108. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and the truth reached unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth. When he looks at that armor, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. What he done for me that day, he'll do again. What he done for me that day, he'll do it again. Now, I want to give you three things that may be your armor. We're closing down right here. Three things that may be your armor in your life. Now, for David, it was a real piece of armor, was it not? That's what he put in the tent for remembrance. But three things it could be. Number one, turn to Luke 24. Luke 24. We're closing down now. Stay with me. Luke 24, verse 6 through 8. He is not here. He's talking about Jesus, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful man and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And what does verse 8 say? And they remembered his words. They remembered his words. There's going to be a time you're going to look. And I want to present to you that this Bible that you have in your lap this morning ought to be your armor. You ought to remember. Look in here. If this Bible, they remembered the words. When you get in a fix, when you get in a place in your life where you need God to be make all things possible, to be bigger than your problems, whatever it is in your life, you need to find it in the Word. You need to remember. I remember reading that in the Scripture. I remember reading it in that Scripture that he said he'll never leave me nor forsake me. The Word should be like the armor was to David in the corner. It should be a remembrance. For you remember what the promises that God has made you in your life. The Bible is one of the things that should be as your armor. Number two, it could be a person. For Abraham, his was Isaac. He could never look at Isaac again and not remember what happened up there on the mountain. He'd look at Isaac and say, God provided, son. God provided. And then Mary and Martha. How about Mary and Martha? Do you think they ever could look at Lazarus and not remember? They look at Lazarus and say, he rose him from the dead. You're not going to get me to doubt God. Not today. Not tomorrow. I remember my brother was dead. 4 days dead. He was stinking. And Jesus brought him back to life. You'll never get them to doubt. Never get them to doubt. Or it could be a person that you led to Christ. You know, the greatest miracle. You can go all through this Bible and find all kind of great miracles. Daniel in the lion's den. So many great miracles in the Bible. And I believe every one of them's true. Every one of them's true. The greatest miracle that ever happened was when God saved a soul. Greatest miracle that ever happened. And if you've ever been there to help in that process where you've got to kneel down and lead somebody to Christ, say, let me tell you about what Jesus did for me. And they accept what you're saying, and they accept Jesus Christ in their life. If that ever happened, that'll change your life forever. You'll look at that person, you always remember, that's my armor right there. That's my armor. That's my armor. I'll remember. That encourages me. That's my armor. And then number three, it could be a thing. It could be a thing. It could be your armor. For David, it was the armor. I'm sure for Noah, he could look back on that ark. You know, he could look at the ark. I don't know how long they got to see that ark before whatever happened to the ark. They say it's under ice now, I guess. I don't know where the ark is. It doesn't really matter to me. But I know it's out there somewhere. But the ark is somewhere. But for days on days after that, Noah could look at that ark and say, me and my family are safe. And that ark. He didn't put no honor in that ark. That ark didn't do it, but it was an ark that represented it. That armor didn't represent nothing but what God did, but it represented that. And then the rainbow, you know, we still look at the rainbow today, and we know it represents something. What does the rainbow represent? He'll never flood the earth again. Thank you, Henry. He'll never flood the earth again. Today, I can still look at a rainbow. And it'll come to my mind, exactly what you just said, to remember. It's like an armor. You look at it and you remember, God never did that again. God never did that again. Elijah couldn't look at a raven. Elijah will never look at a raven the same again after the ravens come fed him. You know, I can look at a raven. I know the story about the raven, so I remember what the raven is. If I look at a raven or a crow or a black bird, whatever you want to call them, but I look at that and I think it's just an old nasty bird. But Elijah didn't look at a raven that way. Elijah looked at a raven and say, you boys, y'all did what God told you to do, and y'all fed me that day by the brook. Y'all fed me that day by the brook. And so every time he looks at a raven now, he says, that's what God used to do the miracle for me that day. Daniel would have looked at a lion the same way. This right here, it's what we call a communion table. And I would think that in front of it, I'm taking this do in remembrance of me. Does that say that across there? I didn't look at it before I came up here. But that's what most of them say, and that's what it's supposed to say, because that's what it's for. But that's called a communion table. And I take it that y'all have communion here. It's one of the two ordinances that God left behind for us to do. I take it y'all do it sometime. But when we do that, that cracker, wafer, and that juice, it doesn't do anything for you. It won't save you. It won't cleanse your sins. But what it does, it's like an armor. We'll look at that. We'll look at that when we take of that, and we'll say, I remember what God did for me at Calvary. I remember the flesh and the blood. And that's the only reason we do it. We do it because it's a remembrance. It's like the armor, where it was for David. We do it, and we remember what God did for us. I don't know about you. I can't look at a cross. Cross. You can't look at one. You can't look at an old rugged cross and not remember what Christ did for us. It's a remembrance. So three things that may be your armor. It should be the Bible. It could be a person. It could be a thing. Is God able to make you bolder than your physical abilities? Is God able to make bountiful your provisions? Is God all things possible? Is God bigger than all your problems? Is God able to use you? Are you able to bless his holy name this morning? What's the armor in your life? Only you know what you're going through in life right now. And you need to look at something to encourage you at times in your life. We made mention this to someone the other day. Sometimes you just got to encourage yourself. You just have to encourage yourself, pick yourself up. David had to do that. He undoubtedly didn't have the armor close by because it said he had to encourage himself. And there's times you have to do that. But other times you can look around in your life and you'll see that there's things that happen in your life that no way in the world that anybody could have done this but God. I could go time and time and time again where God, and my wife is my witness, where God has came through right on time. And he's done it so many times. It's like David was with that lion. He led him to feed a lion. So when the bear come up, he wasn't as scared. And so he took that bear on. And when the Philistine came up, he wasn't as scared. I believe there's a step of faith in our life where you handle this challenge, I'll give you another one. You handle this challenge, I'll give you another one. How did I end up in Maine? I have no idea. I don't know how I ended up in Maine, really. I mean, I can tell you the story, how it happened. I did the first message I was here. If you missed it, you have to go back and listen. But I told you how I ended up in Maine. But I'm from South Carolina for 48 years of my life. 48 years of my life. I grew up in South Carolina. I never thought I'd leave. But I did the little things. God had me cutting the grass at the church. I was cutting the grass. That was my job. I was the groundskeeper at the church. And I cut the grass. And I had a landscape company. So, I mean, I had the equipment to do it. And so I offered my services to the church. But there was nowhere, none of my jobs I had that I spent more time at than I did at the church. And there was not a job that I had that looked any better than what I did at the church. Because I thought it should be the most prestige place in all the town. And so I kept busy on doing that. I became a Sunday school superintendent. I could go on and on. But things God let me do to get to where I am. And that's the way God works. And be faithful in the little things. Be faithful in the little things. And he'll use you for great things. He'll use you for great things. All right, I hope the message was good for you today. Look at that armor. Why did David have that armor in his tent? It was a reminder. Just a reminder. Remembrance. All right, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Our dear Father, Lord, we thank you for the message you've given us today. Lord, I pray that someone got help here today. Lord, I thank you for helping me with the message. And Lord, I pray that you would use it in days to come. And Lord, we'll see in days to come, we can look back on the message and glean from it. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you that this book is alive. It's real. And Lord, that we can look to it at any time in our life and get our answers that we need for life. And I thank you for that. And Lord, thank you for all the promises that you've got in this word that help me along the way. Lord, be with each and every one as we go our separate ways here in a little bit. Lord, we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.